Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. I'm your host, Bethany Clementson, and I'm here today with our guest, Sarah Johnson. Sarah is a former teacher and school principal turned author, speaker, leadership coach, and podcaster. You've got to check out her podcast. It's called In Awe, and I'll put the link in the description. She is passionate about assisting others in seeking greater satisfaction in all areas of their full lives by helping them go beyond work-life balance, as well as develop strong leadership foundations. Sarah holds a Bachelor of Arts in Secondary Education, Master of Science in Educational Administration, and a Certificate for Women in Leadership from Cornell University. She hosts the weekly In Awe podcast that I mentioned earlier, where she is proud to amplify women's stories to empower a community. Sarah is also co-author of Balance Like a Pirate, Going Beyond Work-Life Balance to Ignite Passion and Thrive as an Educator, and also author of the book Lead with Faith, Building a Strong Foundation So You Can Rise Up, Slay Fear, and Serve Well. She is a state and national speaker on a mission to teach masses, utilizing her skills with excellence and intention to impact others. Welcome to Dialed In, Sarah.
Thank you, Bethany. I'm so excited to be here with you.
So, Sarah and I, our paths crossed just, a little over a month ago with a mutual friend, and there's a very special story behind that, and we won't necessarily dive into all that here, but if you want to hear the backstory about that, you've got to check out Sarah's podcast, because as a guest on her podcast, we kind of shared both of our sides of this amazing story. And in this life, you never know where meeting someone will take you. Don't miss the opportunity to connect, no matter where you're at, grocery store, coffee shop, gas station. You just don't know what's in front of you and on the other side of that connection. So anyway, I digress. Today, we're going to talk about leading with faith. And prior to going live here on this recording, Sarah and I were talking, and this is something that's big on her heart for all kinds of reasons, which I'll let her talk with you about. But as we launch into this idea of leading with faith, and not just at work, but in our lives, period, I'll say this. Regardless of what direction we choose to go in our life, whether we choose to listen to our mind and stay small and lead with fear, or we step out of the familiar and lead with faith, it both requires the same amount of energy and belief. And Sarah lives a big life by pursuing her passions, by stepping out in faith even when it is scary, by walking into the unfamiliar and trusting that the next steps will appear when she can't see the way. And I'm just so excited to share her with you listeners today. So with that being said, Sarah, I'm going to let you start with whatever's on your heart, and we will go from there.
Thank you so much, Bethany. It's fun to hear you talk about, you know, like the difference in leading with fear or with faith. And it's one of the things that I spent a good amount of time processing through and thinking about for a good portion of my adult life, and specifically in the months after I took a leap. So I think it's on my heart. I just want to share, if you don't mind, with the listeners, you know, like the pivot story that is my life in the last couple of years. So I'm an educator by trade, and I love that work. I love it deeply. I love connecting with people and with students. I'm excessively passionate about that work. I geek out hard on my podcast if I get to interview educators and we're talking about assessments and curriculum and building relationships with students. I light up, right? And I remind myself, wow, I still love that so much. But I had experienced quite the I will say pit moment. I had launched into educational administration pretty young, and I didn't even know what I didn't know about what to expect, you know. And so in those first couple of years, I had just developed some habits that were not good for me personally. And because what started to happen is I layered on all of these titles. You know, I think your listeners can understand that. And I know you know this, Bethany, that, you know, you get married, you become wife, you layer on the blessing of children, you become mom. You know, mm-hmm. I had started to lose myself, and I say this, to the idol of the title of principal, because it was so big, you know. And I, I look back on it, and I wrote about this too. I don't think that it wasn't a losing myself in ego. It was a losing myself to the responsibility of servant leadership, and I did a great job of confusing servant leadership and martyrdom. So in that space, and I gave it all, you know, I left it all on the field every day. I felt like I was leaving it on the field every day for my children. And what I learned is I lost Sarah, and no longer could I really find her for a good portion. And it was a scary time. And when I write about that, when I had to rise up from my pit, it was like, when I look back on that time, I felt like there was this shiny, waxy version of Sarah who was just like fighting fires and smiling and laughing and singing. And all inside, there was this other person that was like chained to a pit on top of a heap of ashes. And the one version didn't know the other existed because she was just so busy trying to please everybody. And so anyway, I started a process of seeking myself and finding, you know, looking really hard. That came through self-care. Talk a lot about intentionality there. And over the course of a couple of years of some fire forging, I came to the point where I was so strong in my faith that I had started to finally prioritize who I wanted to listen to, who I wanted to be, no matter where I was. And in January of 2018, I was sitting in my, actually it was at the hotel pool. My daughters, we had a snow day. I was a high school principal. I'd come through 3.5 really challenging years leading in a learning community that had experienced its most significant cultural disruption in its history. And things were really going well. But I sat there and I was journaling and I could just hear the Holy Spirit speaking right to me. And the direct call was, you need to resign. And so I knew it and I was convicted in that moment. And the story is much longer. But for our purposes, what I wanted to share with you is, I came home and I told my husband, and he said, only crazy people leave their job without having another one lined up. And then we went to church that weekend, and there were so many messages affirming that crazy decision, which could have been steeped in fear. But the difference is I realized that that one was steeped in faith, and I had no fear at all in that decision. It seems crazy when I look back on it. I sat on the decision for a month, and then I ended up submitting my resignation, and I ended up that school year with as much focus and determination and loving people and kind of living as if I were dying in that role, not focusing on what was next because I knew that I needed to finish well, but growing myself in every possible way. And so that when the fall hit, that's when the fear kind of started to strike. You know? Like, well, I did this. I took this huge, gigantic leap, right? Like, I left a salary. I left a contract. I left security. I left the shelter of that title that I was so familiar with and comfortable with by then. You know, Principal Johnson is how I knew myself. And so it really was a good several months that I spent listening and being silent and studying whatever it was the Holy Spirit wanted me to study, Bible. I mean, this was not a life that I was used to leading after having two small children and a 60 to 80 hour a week job. I mean, that was my life. And so sitting in the stillness was hard, and there was fear. But at the end of the day, like you said, I started getting out of my head and started listening to what it was I was supposed to be doing and who I was supposed to be during that time. And so that was the long version, but that's how I got to write this message, which felt like a sacrifice, to be honest with you, sitting in my basement instead of being in a school sometimes. But just spent a lot of thoughtful time processing and realizing that if I'm going to lead, no matter where I am in life, I need to lead with faith. I need to crush that fear. I need to rise up. I need to slay it, and I need to serve. And so, boy, I just knew that this message wasn't just for me, and I have a passion so deep in my heart about it, but it took a lot of work and took a lot of time and reflection, studying, and self-awareness. And so I love giving that gift to others through the message that I was given in my own life.
I love it. I think that sometimes we don't even realize we have a choice or that we're making a choice to be fear-based, especially if that's something that we've never been made aware of or we've never thought about. You know, I always talk about how our minds are wired to keep us safe. Our mind doesn't care if we're happy or fulfilled or connected spiritually or connected anyway. Actually, it just cares that you're alive. And so the only thing it knows is to tell you that everything it doesn't know is danger. And, and you know, you cannot live a faith-filled life if you're not stepping out of the fear. And I remember the first time I heard that, it was like a forehead smack. Like, what? Your mind is what? You do what? That what? I never even considered that. So I know we definitely want to launch into Leading with Faith, definitely the acronym of FAITH, and anything else that you want to share that way. But I also want to know, can you tell us when that fear hit you hard in the fall after, like, whoa, it's getting real? How did you maintain your faith to keep pushing forward? Because that stops a lot of people.
I can speak nothing other than my spiritual faith on this one. It could have stopped me. And in fact, I'll be honest, I had plenty of people calling and saying, hey, can you come and be a long-term sub? Can you come do this? And I had the freedom. Mm-hmm. I would have been able to go do that, you know. But instead, the way I kept myself strong and faithful was that I listened and I carved out even more time for silence. And when I started to hear what I would say is the Holy Spirit inside of me say, you're to seek to teach masses, trust the path that I'm giving you and take each step forward, then I just knew that I would do it. If I would go a day without listening to that, I would fall back into the fear and fall back into what the world thought of me, you know, because there were plenty of people who thought she must have gotten fired.
Right.
Nobody just resigns, you know.
Right.
And so all of that stuff that I just had to keep pushing back, and I feel so strong in that when I stopped listening to my mind and I started listening to the truths that were there, that I do have skills. I did have creativity inside of me. I have strengths that I need to start using for service to others. And I needed to stop dreaming about what was behind me anymore and start looking what was in front of me. And so just being, I would say, really disciplined about continuing to trust and listen and write it down and reread it and being willing to see what was in front of me. Little things like, I mean, I could feel my heart pounding when I thought about doing the In Awe podcast, which had started, I launched it in December, and I knew that I was going to amplify women. I knew it. I had never touched a podcast. I was a podcast listener, sort of, but I didn't know what I needed to do, and so I took to growing myself in ways that I hadn't before. I'd been spending so much time on school leadership concepts and curriculum and safety and all those things that I took an author course so that I could learn how to build a platform of, even though I had just published my first book, but I wanted to, you know, to be able to do that well. I took that with leadership from Cornell University to strengthen my skills to understand more about what I was trying to share and articulate a vision. And then I just, I got myself so busy in the work of moving forward each new step that it was easy to beat it back because I just created more and more purpose for myself through the messages that I was listening to. And the reminder for myself, and I think maybe the listeners can appreciate this, is I don't need to look to the titles for affirmation. I'm good enough. I am who I'm supposed to be, and I don't need to listen to who anyone else says I am. I just am. So that was a big epiphany for me. I needed to remove the shelter of the title to become who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I would have just kept playing small for that forever, probably.
Right. Our inherent worth comes from within us. We're worthy because we're alive, because we're here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very easy to get sidetracked by other things. I mean, I know I went down that path too. I just thought, well, if I can just get whatever, I'll get the house and the car and the the titles, and I'll get to think, then I'll have the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and the dog, and then I'll feel worthy. And it doesn't ever work that way. It's never outside of us. It's always in us, just like our fulfillment and our happiness and our joy is a choice that we make inside of us, right? That's, you know, it comes from within. I love that you talk about, so I heard a speaker say once, you've got to slow down to speed up. And that's just exactly what you described.
Yeah.
So
it's exactly
you're out of, yeah, right. So, do you still have, like, what is your practice now? So you said you had to really slow down and you had to listen and understand the difference between, maybe I'm paraphrasing, of course, your mind and God, spirit, intuition, you know, whatever that is. Can you talk about how you discern that, and then what you do, are there things you do daily to stay connected that way?
Yeah, that's such a good question. In regard to how I discern it, it's going to sound a little maybe strange to people who haven't been through this process, but I felt like I was on training runs for a good couple of months because I started a running streak July 11th, 2014. So I get out, and in this time and in this space, I stopped listening to anything on my run, podcast, music, nothing. I just run and I listen. And I, you know, there's meditation involved there, intentional or not. But if you're a person who has ever gotten into that zone, you understand what I'm talking about. But I would get such clear messages to direct me. And it sounds hokey in a sense, but there would be just little tests. Like, would I take the path that I'm hearing that still small voice tell me to, or would I take the path that I planned for the day? You know, and I just started to learn to trust that instinct and follow through with it. And I'll tell you, I did some things like stop at a house that I told, I was, you know, I could hear it, stop at this house, knock, introduce yourself. Sounds kind of crazy when I think of it now. But yeah, and then I would know if it was, there would always be something that would tell me that what I had heard was what I wasn't crazy, you know? And so me, yes, the habit stays. I, you know, just taking the risky, obedient steps to put yourself out there and stop and knock on someone's door and listen to their life story. This happened to be a grandmother. And I could see the connection. I won't share it here, but I knew the connection and I knew what I needed to hear and I knew what I needed to do to serve that woman. And it always circles back. It always circles back to something. So really being willing to see it and listen for it. And honestly, I can tell the difference now between my own mind and maybe an imposter and the Holy Spirit that I identify is the one who is for me. And so, yes, every single day I sit in silence, I journal, I write it down, I know what my thoughts are versus what are not my thoughts but are flowing through me. And it's something, it's like a daily discipline for that spiritual practice. And the running is also something that I keep in place. In addition to that, the reading, and I know that you can appreciate this, Bethany, the reading that I do to grow my thinking and to grow my knowledge in several different ways, whether that is, you know, spiritual, I've studied the Bible more, I've studied people who have studied the Bible, I read on personal development and self-development and personality assessments, and I spend a lot of time trying to get to know myself, my inner voice, and also just continuing to grow so that I can serve others. That's my major focus now, is just learning more about the people who are not like me so that I can love them better. So those are some of the things that I do every single day. Sounds kind of boring, but I spend a lot of time in my head. I kind of want to know what's going on in there, you know.
I think that's important. I think, you know, how we see the world, how we see ourselves, everything originates there. So I think it's important that we spend time there.
Yeah, I think too much of us allow for the distraction because we're afraid to find what's there. You know, I've never claimed to be perfect. I have had to do a lot of self-assessment and forgiving and renewal of my spirit so that I can just, like, lay down a ton of guilt. And I want to be the best version of myself for my kids, for my husband, for anybody I work with and encounter, you know? So I think that toning down that noise, that's the only way to do it. Because otherwise, we're always going to be above it, and we'll never get below it. We can never hear ourselves properly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think busyness can be a painkiller, a numbing agent, just like anything else can. I know I've had many clients that I've worked with that didn't realize that they were staying so busy, so they didn't have to come face to face with where they were in their lives and their lack of living big, their lack of living into who they were, their lack of leading themselves with faith. I think that all of us can be guilty of that from time to time. You know, if you just stay busy enough, you don't have to think about the things that are bothering you or the things that aren't working in your life.
Yep. You're lending, it's really a great segue into that FAITH acronym, because in FAITH, it's an acronym which stands for free to be authentically you. A is affirmed in purpose. I is intentionality to inspire and influence. T is transcending titles and embracing transformation. And H is leading with heart. And I bring it up because when you talk about, that numbing piece, I share that in Lead with Faith, I know about myself now something I didn't know prior to me taking the leap, which is I've spent a lot of time in the Enneagram. And I've learned about myself that I am a core 7, which is the enthusiast. And if any of you have ever studied the Enneagram, you've taken the quizzes. I mean, that's base level, right? But you studied it, you understand that it's super complex. And the way I operate in the world as a 7 is very different than any stereotype of a 7. And so it's very unique, and I think it's really important to acknowledge that there's healthy aspects of being a 7 and enthusiast, and there's unhealthy. When you talk about that numbing, this is what I wrote about and really reflected on. I am an aholic. fill in the blank. I'm a workaholic. I've struggled with alcohol being a numbing agent in the last 3 years of my life, which I wrote about too, just kind of in my space of self-awareness, realizing what I was doing, because a 7 struggles with the range of emotions. They're generally enthusiastic people because they sit in half of the range of the emotions, which is usually the positive half. And the good thing is I can reframe anything. I was telling my husband, man, if I was like, my leg was broken, I would reframe it in the minute and be like, this hurts a lot, but at least I didn't break my arm too, or
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I can reframe in the moment. It's beautiful. But the downside to that is you if you're not careful, you can unhealthily cope, right? And so you're covering the hardest emotions. And so had I not dug into myself to understand that, I can't counter it. You know, and so when I look back at my, high-powered job, going in on Sunday evenings in the office once the girls were to bed, just constantly working, it was really numbing all of the pain I was feeling from any range of things. You know, my brother completing a suicide, the challenges that I was facing in leadership in that role, anything I could sit here and list. But the point came down to being free to be authentically you is understanding who you are, the healthy aspects, the unhealthy, so that I can be the best version of that 7. I want to be joyful and energetic and bring joy to others, but I don't want to do it at the expense of what's deeply inside of me. I don't want to numb those so that I'm not experiencing the full range of my entire full life. And so that's one of the things that I offer in this FAITH framework, is just understanding, embracing who you are, and leading from the strengths, but also learning how you can refine those edges in a way that doesn't lose you, but also is the healthy version of you.
I love it. I'm just making notes here. I too am a 7.
Why?
But I have not dove into it. I mean, I have like the report, and that's pretty much it. It's interesting, though. I had a conversation with another friend of mine earlier this week, and she was saying that the downfall, she said every Enneagram type has a mortal sin, and that ours is gluttony. the sevens is gluttony. And I mean, I can so identify with everything you said, like workaholic. Yeah, been there. Using alcohol to cope. Yeah, been there too. Justifying, like unhealthily justifying anything. Like, and then even using it to give guilt to myself or to others, to try to make myself feel better, not even realizing it was like so unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I feel like I'm speaking a word to you. The truth is that it's so maddeningly complex, and I think that, you know, I, in Lead with Faith, I offer a few different resources, but even still, I've been studying it for 2 years. I'm not there yet because just this morning I was listening to a really wonderful podcast, and one of the people that I will continue to go to on this is Suzanne Stabile, and she wrote a couple of books, and one of them is The Path to You. I think that's the title, and then The Path Between Us, and it's this idea about how we can get to know ourselves better so that we can love others better, and we shouldn't just be getting to know about the seven. Like, we should be getting to know all the entire range. So there's nine actually core types. The beautiful part that I love about it is we have wings, too. So, for example, I'd be interested in what you are, Bethany, because there's the enthusiast is the core, right? But then you're either a six with a loyalist, or you're an eight wing with it's I can't remember, it's a leadership. I can't remember the title anymore, but it's like the one who's pushy. It can be pushy.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm the eight. Yeah.
This is what's so beautiful about it, friends, is that I've been studying it forever, and I had never once heard or read yet, or at least I didn't process it with all of the information I was taking in, is that we are our core with the tendencies of one wing for half of our life, and then we add on the other wing for the other half. So it's like just this beautiful idea that we are so complex and evolving. And you know what? I'm a seven that can also be described in so many different ways, like flighty. You know, like they'll say if you're a seven, you're going to go to the gym and you'll never stick with one thing. But I've run over 2,130 days in a row. Clearly that's not me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that, you know, it's like any other personality inventory. You don't want to put yourself too much into a slot and say, that's how I function. That's why I love it. It's just super complex. And it's something that I think once you start to relate to the core, then you can start to see yourself more clearly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that one, that's really big in the F section of free to be authentically you, because for a long time, I mean, I'm a high school principal. I didn't really feel always embraced when I would just bust out into song, but that's who I am and that's who I'm going to be. You know? So that was always an interesting piece to my puzzle.
I love it. So on a day-to-day basis for you, what does leading with faith look like?
On a day-to-day basis for me, you know, I'm not going to say that I go through that acronym rigidly, but I would say that if a person was living out the framework of leading with faith, it means that you embrace who you are and you're comfortable enough in your own skin to keep doing that inside heart work, but also acknowledging, you know, like, the value of the people around you, right? Because I'm actually married to what I would say is like my opposite in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And knowing myself helped me to embrace who he is and appreciate who he is once I know the Enneagram styles better. And it helps me understand why, you know, he'll see the obstacles, I see every opportunity, right? But it helps me to understand how we can really work together and help one another in that way. So me leading with faith, knowing myself, means that I'm not going to dull or numb the edges of who I am. I need to remind myself that if I want to bust out in a song while I'm doing the dishes, I'm going to do that. That's part of it. It sounds kind of hokey, but that's who I need to be. A, affirmed in purpose for me every day, I write down my mission and I write down my vision. And for me, I also am always aware at the start of every day what my core values are. So my mission in life is to exercise with excellence and My mission in life is to utilize with excellence and intention my God-gifted passions to impact others in all areas of my full life, gaining wisdom through trial and singing through triumph. And I write that down so I know it, so I'm reminded of that, so that every step I take every day is that. And that I am to be my vision. I also know that my core values are balance, resilience, and faith. So if there's an opportunity to say a yes, I need to make sure that it aligns with what it is that I need to be doing. And if I have to say no to something, then I will. And always keeping those things at the core. Like resilience right now is huge for me. I know it's got to be for a lot of people when we think about coming back from some of the effects of this COVID-19 pandemic, which has completely changed our lives. I have to keep reminding myself that I need to be resilient every day for my kids and help them be resilient. And my husband, and that eventually we'll get through this too, right? Mm-hmm. So intention is, for me, the intentional every day is I have a set of goals and focus areas for my entire year. I do utilize the one-word process. And so my one-word this year is serve. And so I'm intentional about looking at all aspects of my life. In my first book that I co-authored, we look at going beyond work-life balance as like four spaces. So our personal lives, our professional lives, positional, and then our passions, and I put faith at the center. So I make sure that I'm moving toward those things every day. And in this, it means service for the year, right? So I'm going to be intentional about how I'm serving, who I am when I show up to serve. And it's been really beautiful. I'm really excited about the opportunities that I didn't even plan to have this year that continue to toss themselves in my lap. Our church is doing a support local thing, and I live 30 minutes from my church, but they called and asked me to lead the initiative here and basically, you know, purchase food for essential workers, and I get to do that. So I get to serve. So things like that, you know, and just being ready and being intentional and making sure that I'm doing things aligned with that. How I transcend titles, I keep resisting the idol of it. You know, if I'm not supposed to be leading in a school yet, it means I'm not supposed to be. But I'm also willing to embrace transformation. So I need to look at changing, growing, becoming better. And if it means I'm going to be back in a school, it means that I'm going to walk in without that title being at the idol and that I will be willing to grow through that. And finally, with H, how do I lead with heart every day? I am aware more than ever of my emotional intelligence barometer. I don't know. Those quadrants, like if you study emotional intelligence, like I am thinking about what my emotions are, how I'm coping or not coping, how I'm handling them, how they're taking me over so that I can manage them. And then most importantly right now in our home, you know, where we're at home for 6-7 weeks so far, I'm an extrovert and I need energy from other people, but I'm not gaining it. Like, how am I helping to manage, you know, the emotions in the house and being that thermostat and not rising or, you know, shrinking to whatever's happening, right? And empathy, leading with empathy. And so that's in everything I do. I may not have experienced something, like, for example, my fifth grader, none of us have ever experienced a pandemic. I never experienced having to stop going to school in the moment and losing friends. You know what I mean? Like, I have that structure. But I have lost. So I can dig deep inside an emotion inside of me and be empathetic to her and see where she is now so that when she's having a breakdown or whatever, I can be present with that emotion. So that's how you lead with faith every day. I mean, it's pretty straightforward in the framework.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. I think I've said, like, I love it, like, 15 times since we've been on the phone. Sorry about that. But I do. This is all such good. This work, everything you're talking about, is what can give you a life that you love. And for the very best of intention, for the very best purpose, for the most fulfilling purpose that you can have. But you can't be fulfilled if you have no idea who you are. You can't be fulfilled if you're busy trying to fill the void with something else, whether it be shopping or a title. I mean, you just can't. And so slowing down to connect and understanding who you are. And I love that you write out your vision mission every day. That's amazing, because that's your filter then. That becomes the filter. And you're so intentional about it that you can't help but have that be top of mind. I would imagine that you refer back to that throughout your day on multiple times. Maybe so much so that it's automatic these days if you've been doing it for so long. I know when I work with my coaching clients, one of the first things we do is narrow down an I am vision and mission. statement. And every time we go through the I am statement, the person says, I don't feel like that person. Like, I don't feel like, you know, I am a confident, charismatic, kind, spiritual, faith-filled woman or whatever. And it's because our junk gets in the way, because we've lost that somehow. And coming back to knowing who you are is what keeps you able to lead your life with faith.
Absolutely. And to do it almost unapologetically with passion. Mm. Because one of the I'll tell you why I have to write that mission down is because, let me give you the example of this COVID-19 pandemic, I finally started to get into a space where, you know, I'm leadership coaching and I am utilizing those leadership skills and speaking and utilizing those things where all of a sudden that gets pulled out from under the rug. And mm-hmm. so if I started to identify that way again, then who am I? I need to remind myself that I can use all of my skills with excellence and intention in my home. So now I'm teaching my second grader, and I'm reworking things for my fifth grader. And I am creating new content because it feeds my joy. I'm continuing to be persistent with that podcast because I'm gifted at amplifying other people, right? And so I have to keep myself grounded in that no matter what I am, to just remember who I am and who I'm called mm-hmm. to be. I think that's
absolutely.
A good
yeah. yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, I have four key teaching points that I drew out of this. In addition to the amazing FAITH acronym, I drew out four other things that you said, and there obviously could have been, you know, 20 more. But so listeners, if you're a person that's like, hey, I want this all wrapped up in a bow, and I want you to give me some things to focus on, this is for you. If not, it's okay. This is a buffet. Take what you want, leave what you don't. So four things. Number one, to lead with faith, you need to spend time getting quiet to connect spiritually. Number two, take steps to understand who you are and then be able to live true to that. Number three, know your values, vision, and mission. And number four, be intentional about your focus each and every day. So, Miss Sarah, thank you so much for being on Dialed In today. Can you tell listeners how they can connect with you?
Been such a joy, Bethany. Yes, listeners can connect with me on any social media platform at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, S-A Johnson, and that's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can also find me on my website, www.sarahsajohnson.com. The podcast is inawetorise.com, and I'm excited if anybody wants to engage with any of these topics further. I love working with people. I love sharing this message, and I will be responsive to anything that I can do to help you lead with more faith.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, Sarah. I so appreciate all the nuggets that you've given us. I have a page of notes here that I will be reviewing and meditating on the rest of this week. So thank you so much.
Thank you, my sister Sutton.
All right, everyone. Listeners, thank you for being here. I know that there's so many things you could be spending your time on, and it is very meaningful to me that you would choose to spend time here with us on Dialed In. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Share it with a friend if you know that there's something that would be meaningful for someone that you know. And until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.